The sermon text this morning from today's epistle reading, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no one deceive you in any way. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we think about, when we pay attention to, when we study literature, it's important to, consider the secondary characters. You know, the characters who are not main characters, obviously, but they are supporting characters within the story. But I also think that it is important to look at, like, maybe the context clues or the context cues, however you want to say that, or look at the context of what is going on, the background clues that can be found inside of the text. And maybe we can look at them, and maybe, you know, in your reading, you can read between the lines just a little bit. See, okay, so what am I trying to say? So take Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, okay? Now, what can we gather from Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan? Well, I think, first of all, it's important to note that nobody seemed shocked that a traveler was waylaid by robbers. They didn't seem to shock anybody. And it's not just that he was robbed, but it was also the gang of robbers wasn't content just to rob the man. They beat him and left him for dead. Okay. And still, nobody is, like, flustered by this. It doesn't seem to bother any of his hearers to hear this. So what am I going to take from that? Apparently, in Jesus' day, in the day in the life of the people he's talking to at this time, violent crime is a common enough occurrence that the story was totally relatable. Right? These people were used to violent crime. Now, we don't think of that. I think that we have this head or this idea in our heads that back in Bible times, everybody was, you know, super religious. And whether it was their gods or God or whether they were pagans or Jews or whatever it was, we got this idea in our head that everybody was super religious. But that's just not so. As a matter of fact, there were plenty of wicked people around in Jesus' day. Our current times don't hold the monopoly on heartlessness and wickedness and evil behavior. People are people, and people have been people ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin. And the only thing that has changed is the level of technology, right? So I am convinced that, you know, people haven't changed all that much. Our level of technology has, but, you know, you can go back to the ancient world and you can certainly understand that somebody was talking to his buddy going, and you know, George, I can't stand that guy. He just irritates me every time he talks. Right? Or, you know, Ahmed or Ahnad or whatever, you know, whoever they decided to, you know, we're talking about. And I am fully convinced that, you know, in our section of the country, when the Native Americans were here and the Keokuk and the Kickapoo there were a couple guys walking around, they were like, man, it's that time of year, isn't it? My sinuses are killing me. You know, I mean, we're people. And we've always been people. And people do wicked and evil things sometimes. So, you know, I said the technology has changed. So with our technology, you know, what are we afraid of? We're afraid of counterfeiters and people using artificial intelligence to create what are called deep fakes, and that is, you know, making a video, somebody making a video of a person saying something that they didn't say. They use a computer-generated image to make it look like somebody saying something that they didn't say and doing things they didn't do. And it's usually intended to manipulate the person's words or actions to intentionally fool or mislead others. And we say, that technology is bad. But technology is actually, it's really a rather neutral thing. It's people with wicked or bad intentions that are behind the programming of a machine to do this thing or that thing or some other thing. So as an exercise in our imagination, what I'd like to do today is look at what's going on in our text. Okay? Someone or somebodies were sowing uneasiness in the Thessalonian congregation concerning the coming of the day of the Lord, that is, the return of Jesus and the return of Christ in glory. And apparently they were saying, hey, it's already happened. The day of the Lord has already come. And the people were distressed about this because they're thinking, I missed it. Apparently I'm not saved. Something's going on. What's going on here? And so this is what's going on. So they are asking Paul about this. And what is Paul's answer? He says, this unsettling teaching, he goes, was done by either a spirit, right? Somebody channeling a spirit, done by a spoken word or by a letter seeming to be from either Paul or Silas or Timothy, some of the ones who had come and established the congregation in Thessalonica. And, when they heard this, they're like, the people were agitated. The people were upset. They were scared. Did we already miss the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? So some folks claiming to have received a prophetic vision or some type of communication from the spiritual world, or there is you know who they are, right? We all do. They say things. They say a lot of things. I don't know actually who they are. They just say stuff. Because people will say, well, I heard. Well, where'd you hear that? Well, I don't know. I just heard it from so on, somebody. You know, this is the rumor mill that gets going. And they say, well, I heard from my brother's wife's sister-in-law, and she overheard her friend's husband telling the brickmaker that, you know, we missed the resurrection. It's already passed. It's already done. Or so on and so forth. It's even possible that someone had generated a letter that was supposed to be from the apostle. They made a fake. They made a counterfeit letter. And somebody in Thessalonica had already spread the news that Paul or Silas or Timothy said that the day of the Lord was present already. Now, why do people do that? Like, why do they make stuff up? Why do they tell stories? Why do they say things like they said? You know, the nebulous they. Why would somebody do that? The apostle tells them that such alleged testimony is false. And he says that in verse 3 of our text. And he tells the congregation, let no one deceive you in any way. Now that's an important point. Even within the church, there will be people who practice deception. What's their motives? I'm sure I don't know. Some people want to feel important, so they make up stories. Others desire power and control. Some want to manipulate other people. Maybe they want to manipulate money out of other people. It's also probably too that even some of the false teachers were sincere in their false teaching, and they sincerely believed it. Now, they were wrong. They were sincerely wrong, but they were sincere. And we must stay away from false teaching and false doctrine. Right, so this is important. There is deception out there. There are deceivers out there. And we must be well aware of them. We must watch out for them. We must pay attention for them. We must be careful not to fall for the deception. It also doesn't change the fact that behind the falsehoods and behind the deceptive lies is satanic teaching and satanic deception. The devil is behind all false teachers, be they wickedly deceptive or sincere but sincerely wrong. It is Satan, it is the devil himself who is behind the false teaching in the world, because he does not stand for the truth. As the scripture says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, and he is the father of lies. And Satan desires that all things pertaining to our redemption, all things pertaining to your salvation, should be taken and twisted. Why? Because he wants you to lose faith. He wants you to not trust in the Word of God. He cannot stand your salvation. So you should not be shocked when you are treated the way Jesus, your Redeemer, was treated. Right? If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to call the servants? If they treated me this way, Jesus says, how do you think they're going to treat you? Now, in this particular instance, the deception was concerning the day, meaning the last day, the time coming up to the second coming of Jesus and Jesus' second coming. And these people were afraid. They were scared. They had missed the resurrection of the dead. They had missed the second coming of Jesus. And so they were very worried about this. And St. Paul, you know, he points them back. He says, no, you haven't missed the resurrection. You haven't missed the day of the Lord. And he says, look, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of the coming of the end of the age. And Jesus answered them, you know, the disciples had asked, and Jesus answered and said, see to it that no one leads you astray. See to it that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, or I am the Christ. And they will lead many people away. And you will hear of wars and of rumors of wars. See to it that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, and there will be earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. They will deliver you up to tribulation. They will put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And so Paul is pointing out to them, he'd already written to them in 1 Thessalonians about this, about the coming of the Lord. And we use that as a funeral text, as a matter of fact. He says, but we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who fall asleep, so that you may grieve as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you from a word from the Lord. We will not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet blast of heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are left, we who are alive, will rise together with them and meet them in the air. And therefore, we will always be with Christ. Encourage one another with these words. He doesn't want you to be afraid that you missed it somehow. So don't fall for the deceptions. Paul goes on to say, now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, when people are saying, there is peace and security, and then sudden destruction will come upon them. So don't worry so much when the day is going to come. You know it's going to come. Don't worry about it. It'll come when the Lord has appointed that day to come. You be faithful now. You keep your trust in the Lord. You keep trusting in the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus Christ. This is what you do. Don't worry about the last day. Don't do theology by newspaper, theology by CNN, okay? Don't worry about it. It will come when it comes. Be concerned about being ready for it when it does come. And that means being faithful now. The point being that we should not be deceived by what someone says, or if they say they have a vision or whatever. We should cling to Christ alone, because Jesus is the one who says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of eternal life. Be content with the word of the Bible, and simply be ready for Jesus' return, whatever that will be. Anything more than that, it comes from the devil. So just trust in your baptism, trust in the absolution, trust in the sacrament of the altar, trust in the word of God, and you'll be fine. You'll be okay. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.